It's fear for the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of the church today has lost its reverence for the power and the working power of the Holy Spirit. And I understand that the devil knows that his days are short. And I understand that he has his job to do. But I also understand we as the people of God have our job to do. Amen. The devil is working overtime to deceive, to, if you will, to blind the hearts of men and women and to draw them in to a place where if they knew anything about God at all, to confuse them and to track them or distract them, if you will, and keep them from serving the God that you and I know. Now, as I begin to share something on Wednesday night about how I received some information about Awake America, and there is a valid group of Christian leaders that are trying to, if you will, awake America and get America back to a place where it can be revived. I really believe that if we don't turn back to God, not only will we be sorry, but we'll lose our nation. Amen. And so we have to make sure that, you know, as I was thinking about this sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached way back in 1741, that really, if you will, launched the awakening of America. It was called, you know, this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it just began to shake that northeastern part of the United States, as I shared on Wednesday. And it's a little place called Northampton, Massachusetts, which is about 100 miles, I understand, west of the Boston area. And it's amazing how that this powerful message that he got up there and began to proclaim and to begin to ignite, if you will, people to become united in the things of God. And we have people like Benjamin Franklin in attendance. And he walked off the crowds. And at one point in the height of that revival, now this is back in 1741, some 35, 36 years before the Declaration of Independence. But as he walked that crowd, there was estimated of some times at the peak crowd height, there was over 30,000 people in attendance out in the middle of fields where he would begin to preach his sermon, and him and George Whitefield would team up together, and the Holy Spirit would fall upon the people, and it said that thousands of people would come to those meetings and get saved, and the Holy Ghost would fall on people, and they would be slain in the Spirit, and people would just begin to, you know, quake and just tremble. And as he began to preach that message, how they would just hold on to where they were seated because they thought that they were going to slip into hell themselves. And there was a great awakening, the first great revival, first recorded great revival in America, started in 1741. But we're just something like 275 years down the road, and now that area, Wikipedia, and you can go on there and, you know, verify what I'm talking about to you. It is now the seedbed of homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriage. It's in a part of the of an area where they're protected, and it's even condoned and sanctioned by local leaders and people, and it's just become completely turned around. You wouldn't even recognize that God was even there. And you have, these testimonies of how people not only were saved, but were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it united those 13 colonies where they stood for God. And they stood up in faith. And they come together in unity. And it began the War of Independence. And they received that Declaration of Independence from not only the Great Britain and the enemies that they had in the natural, but they began to be free in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. And so today, you know, just a couple of hundred years plus later, we see that there is a great deception. I believe that if the churches do not stand up and begin to proclaim truth, that there will be other voices that stand up because they have influential power and power to influence people that do not understand the truth of God's Word. Now, I thank God that we're privileged in this church because we're always trying to train and establish the people in the things of God. I was pleased to see the foundation class and how it turned out this morning. We got the advance. They're going to go for 6 weeks. And, you know, some of you told me, hey, I'm learning things. I'm seeing things. And that's the way it ought to be. We need to be established and rooted and grounded in the things of God. Can I hear somebody say amen? Because we know that the storm is going to come. The same storms come on the just and the unjust. But it's the Word of God and the faith that we have in God is what's going to cause us to stand. And we know in these last days there's going to be great deception. Are you with me? There's going to be Antichrist spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. And I don't know if you're aware of this. Somebody had sent me a video clip, and I want to share this in just a second because I want you to understand the deception that's going on in America today. You know, a lot of times we isolate ourselves and we're Christians and we love God and we don't let anything deter us from that. But how many know there's a lot of people in this land that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Amen. There's a lot of people today that do not understand the Spirit of God. And anytime the Spirit of God begins to move and fall on people, just like it did to Whitfield's wife and you know, they had opposition. You can read that historical account. And when the Spirit of God began to move, you know, his wife got filled with the Holy Spirit. She was just a quiet little, reverent little, you know, lady. And the Holy Ghost fell on her and baptized her in fire. And she began to speak in tongues and got radical for Jesus. And, of course, the opposition came. Amen. So I know there's opposition in our land today because we do so much for the world. I said we send more missionaries out than anybody else in the world. Amen. There's more money pumped into the gospel than any other country. This is what the United States does. So you know that the United States is under attack or it's going to be a great target of Satan in these last days. Are you with me? And there is a great deception going on. You may be aware or may not be aware. But this fine, outstanding citizen that we have in our country, her name is Oprah Winfrey, and you know her, but I'm sure you've watched plenty of her programs, and she has done a lot of good. She's given a lot of money. She's done a lot of things for needy people. But you know, that does not negate the fact that you can become deceived. And right now, they're doing, and this is a little clip I want you to see, because what they are doing is they're promoting a New Age philosopher, and on these Monday night webcasts that they're doing has grown into 200 million plus viewers. And they're being deceived by these lies from the pit of hell. Oprah has denounced that Jesus is the only way to salvation. It's the only way to God. They denounce that there's a real hell. They denounce that God is not a God that we worship because we have faith in Him and we believe in Him, but it's a feeling. So if you would, I was going to do the audio, but I think they got the video. I want you to tell you, it's about 5 or 6 minutes here. Just watch this.
Church in the world. The first service was March 3rd, 2008, with an attendance of over 300,000. The attendance is now over 2 million, and they conducted the first ever mass trance on March 17th, 2008. What do they teach? Who you are requires no belief. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. The man on the cross is an archetypal image. He is every man and every woman. The leader's website teaches these lessons. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness is my salvation. My salvation comes from me. Let me remember that there is no sin. Do not make the pathetic error of, quote, clinging to the old rugged cross, unquote. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Have you heard of this church, or maybe its leader? Years ago, she denied Jesus is the only way.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her path
crazy.
Might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be on that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
You can't even bring him up in this whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
the millions
you
of
say
people
there
in the world.
Today, she has turned her millions of adoring fans over to New Age doctrine. Christians are letting this into their homes and are being deceived.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to week number 3 of our New Earth web class. And again, I thank you. Eckhart Tolle thanks you for joining us as we bring students and seekers together to discuss our latest book club selection, Eckhart Tolle's A New
We
Earth.
Did something last week that was unprecedented. You said it's never been done before on television, where you just sit there in silence. I thought a lot of people responded to the sense of connection from that. So you want to do that again?
Yes.
Let's do that again.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So you're going to lead us in silence.
And okay. Simply become aware that you are breathing. The air flows in and out, and you feel yourself breathing. Air flows in and out.
In reading books such as Tolle's, it's really opened my eyes up to a new way of thinking, a new form of spirituality that doesn't always align with the teachings of Christianity. So my question is to you, Oprah, how have you reconciled these spiritual teachings with your Christian beliefs?
I've reconciled it because I was able to open my mind about the absolute indescribable hugeness of that which we call God. I took God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and there were, you know, rules and, you know, belief systems and doctrine. And I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s, and I was going to this church where you had to get there at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or you couldn't get a seat, and a very charismatic minister, and everybody was just, you know, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God. And I was, you know, caught up in the rapture of that moment until he said jealous. And something struck me. And I was like, I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all, God is omnipresent, God is all. And God's also jealous. God is jealous of me. And something about that didn't feel right in my spirit, because I believe that God is love and that God is in all things. And so that's when the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. And I love this quote that Eckhart has. This is one of my favorite quotes in chapter 1, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God."
Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." That means you are the consciousness in which the world is seen.
So you believe what happens to us at death when the body dies? You don't have a belief.
I don't give it any thought.
You don't. God, in the essence of all consciousness, isn't something to believe. God is.
Yes.
God is. And God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
That's right.
And if your religion is a believing experience, if God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
No.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
But that's not all. She's entered the political arena by endorsing a candidate for president. The New Age teacher giving...
Praise the Lord. Well, Oprah said it's a feeling, but I come to make believers out of you.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm going to use a lot of scripture today that Jonathan Edwards used in his famous message that began the great American revival. And again, I, you know, maybe you're here today and you've never give much thought like Eckhart Tolle, you know, to eternity. But how many know eternity is real?
Yes.
The devil's real.
Yes.
And God is real.
Yes.
And we need to be aware today of things that are going on. But I want to read this to you in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 34 and 35. This is where he used the text of that great sermon that he preached. And by the way, you can listen to that if you want to. It's on the internet too. You can find that if you do a search. But it said, "Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures?" Now look at this. "Vengeance is mine." Have you found it?
Yes.
If you found it, say, "I found it." Okay. "Vengeance is mine and recompense." Now, just stop right there a minute. Recompense means to pay back something. To pay back something that's owed. It says, "Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them." Now, it's interesting here that God described, even to Israel, eternity, and he described it as one's foot slipping. David used the same analogy. You can write this down, Psalm 73, 2, when he talked about when he was away from God, when he'd got into sin, he said, "My feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slipped." But he uses this term, their feet slipping into eternity. And I get to thinking about how, you know, when we slip down, it's because we're not stable in our walk. I can remember as a kid, we had this big, you know, this big slope, this big hill. And we'd get cardboard boxes and we'd get going and we'd start sliding down that thing. And you know, you had to do it just right because at the end was a barbed wire fence. And so if you didn't know how to stop yourself, you would hit the fence. And how many know you hit a barbed wire fence? It doesn't give much and it leaves marks. But the point is that the weight of your body and the gravity begins to pull you down, begins to pull you in that direction. So he's talking about here that you can slip away, and when you start slipping away, as he said, in due time, the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. So it's a picture here of those who will one day, because they do not believe, will slip away into the abyss or into eternity. Now, the Bible makes it very plain about there is a real hell and there's a real devil. In fact, I want to take you over to the New Testament and show you where this passage of Scripture was quoted. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, if you would turn over there right quick. Because, today is we're talking to those that have been drawn away from God. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never even thought about eternity. And normally, you know, we're teaching, you know, the Word, and I believe this is the Word, but we're teaching faith. But I believe also that we need to have a reality of hell, a reality that there is an eternal life that we're going to spend. And if we don't know Jesus, we're going to spend it in this place called eternal hell and damnation. Now, normally, we like to paint the picture that God is a good God. And God is a good God. Amen?
Yes.
But you see, the trouble with that is that if you have only the picture that God is a good God and that God is love, then it's very difficult for you to picture the wrath side of God. But not only is God love, but God is going to have a judgment, and that judgment will be poured out upon all unbelievers, those who have denounced the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And so let's go over here to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And this picks up really right where we kind of left off on Wednesday about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How many know there's a reason that we come to church? How many know there's a reason we need to come to church consistently? Come on, I said, how many know there's a reason that we need to come and let the Holy Spirit minister to us so that we're not deceived or we're not, you know, held captive by our own sin, by our own bondages, and then we allow some, you know, philosophical guru tell us that there's another way in which we can receive salvation. How many know there is only one way? There's only one way to God the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it says in verse 26, let me read it here. It says, for if we sin willingly, now we're thinking about those right now that are not on their way to heaven. Listen, this message is not for the serious Christian this morning that has the security of knowing that they're saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and they're living right for God. This message today is for the careless person. The person who tries to defend their own life and what they believe, and that they believe that there is some other way to get there and spend eternity than the way that God prescribed in His Word. Okay, so I want to make sure that everybody understands that. I want to make sure you understand who we're talking to today. Because he starts out this thing, if we sin willingly after we have received the knowledge. In other words, you can sit in church and someday or at some point just decide, you know what, I'm going to quit doing it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. Now, this is really what he's talking about here. He says, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, it says there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now, that don't take a lot of interpretation, does it? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries, those who oppose the cross, those who teach that there's another way to salvation, those who deny the cross that Jesus went and paid the price in full so that you and I could have salvation. He says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law, he says, dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment do you suppose will he be through or thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing? In other words, you take lightly the blood of Jesus as just a common thing. In other words, it really doesn't mean anything to you. It says, and insulted the Spirit of grace. You know, you can insult the Spirit of grace by constantly rejecting that Spirit. The Spirit of grace, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. And we understand that not a one of us would be here today except the Holy Spirit drew us to God. And the Holy Spirit had to open up our eyes through that Spirit of grace to be able to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I thank God for the grace of God, amen? Because if it were not for the grace of God, I'd probably be out there, you know, surfing the net and hear something like that and let it attract me and let it influence me. But thank God for the mercy of God, amen? Thank God we don't immediately get what we deserve, but we will get what we deserve in the end. Now look what it says. It says they insulted the Spirit of grace. In verse 30, here's the quote from Deuteronomy we just read. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now look at verse 31, because he uses this verb again to fall. It says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So what we have to understand is that, you know, when we are easily deceived, the Bible says that God is not mocked, right? And the only thing that I understand about somebody being deceived is they don't know they're deceived. Because if they knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. But see, the people that are deceived, they don't know they're deceived, and it's hard to tell them the truth. Thank God for the Spirit of grace. Thank God for the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Amen. And the truth is what will set us free. So we're here to receive the truth of God's Word. And I wanted to, I wanted to start off with some facts, if you will, and then I'll get into some illustrations here about sin and hell. And here's the first one, and I'll try to put these down for you so you can have them maybe in the bulletin next week, just like I did the prayer I told you I'd do, because I really want you to see this. I want you to have this in your understanding. But here's the first thing. Sin is like a weight. Sin is like a weight because it's like, you know, and I've used this analogy to you before, when you train to run, a runner will put those weights so that he can feel those weights on his leg, and when he gets in the real race, he takes those weights off so that he can feel light and he can run faster. See, sin is described, according to Hebrews 12:1, as a weight. It says, lay aside all the weight and the sin that so easily does beset us. Again, our Christian walk and our Christian life, it's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash, right? It's a marathon. It's not who starts this race, but who finishes this race. That's why the Apostle Paul said, you run this race, but run it to win. Amen? But when there's sin in our life, it drags us down. It's things that not only separate us from God, but it slows us down. I lift weights 3 or 4 times a week. I'm sure you can tell. But, you know, when you first start lifting that weight, it's pretty light. But you start doing a few repetitions, and how many know that weight starts, you feel the sting. When it's stinging and when it's burning, you know you're building muscle. And I tell you, that's what sin does. It begins to sting, and it begins to hurt, and it begins to separate you and slow you down in your walk and in your race with God. So the fact about sin is it's like a weight, and the more of those weights that become attached to you, the more that it detracts you and takes you away from God and the eternal salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. And then here's the second, because all sin, really, it is designed to take us away from God, because sin separates us from God. Let me understand that. All right, now here's the second fact about hell and about sin, is that God has the power to cast into hell. Now, some people think they are a match for God. Some people, you know, we can use this term here in South Texas, macho. You know, and they think they can flex their muscles in the face of God because they got their own idea and their own plan. I'm here to tell you, you are no match for God. I don't care how much iron you pump. I don't care how much you think you are. You are no match for God. God, when He gets ready and you have not repented, He will throw you into the lake of fire, and He will do it on His own without help from anybody. I don't care what you're holding on to or how loud you're screaming. When God gets ready to do it, He'll just do it. Are you with me? Now, a lot of people don't understand this again, but I want to show you the scripture. Go to Luke chapter 12. Come on, somebody. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 12. I want you to see something here, because we need to see and have a reality. When God gets ready to place somebody in eternal judgment, He don't have to ask anybody. Amen. But He will be fair. Everybody say, He'll be fair. He's a just judge. Luke chapter 12. Verse 4 and 5. Now here's Jesus speaking. He said, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Now of course we're concerned about those that, you know, do violence and crime and so on and so forth. I saw another clip where this robber robbed this 85, 86-year-old grandmother in a wheelchair at gunpoint. And he held that gun to her and said, give me your money. And she looked at him and said, I'm not going to give you my money. He said, if you don't give me your money, I'm going to shoot you. She said, you go ahead and shoot me. I'll go to heaven, but you'll go to hell. Amen. I mean, she was firm in where she stood, amen, and she was bold. And I tell you, it did something to that guy. He let the pistol go, and he took off in another direction. But I'm telling you here, yeah, we're concerned about crime. We're concerned about violence and people who unlawfully, you know, take people's lives. So he said, but look, he said, and after that, have They have no more that they can do. That's all they can do is kill your natural life or take your natural life. But look what he says in verse 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, capital H there, fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into where? Has power to cast in hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So, you know, like Oprah said, she couldn't serve a God that was jealous, you know, for her. Well, God's not jealous for her. God is jealous over her. God is jealous over us because he doesn't want to see the devil take any more prisoners. He doesn't want to see the devil take any more captives. But he has paid the price. He will protect your right to go to hell if you want to. You know why? He will protect you all the way to the gates of hell because he's done all that he'll do. He's made a way. He said, I am the way, the way. It's not several ways, but he's the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. Are you with me? All right. Now, here's the third thing, is that sinners deserve hell. I didn't read, look at Romans 11:22. Just put that up there, Victor. We don't have time to go to all these scriptures. But it says, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Look at there. On those who fail, severity, but those you, goodness. So God is either going to bring severity or goodness. But look what it says. If you continue in his goodness, you're going to receive goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. I said, you also will be cut off. We have to understand that God is a good God, and God is a God of love, but God also has a side of severity, and his wrath will be exposed on that final day, on that day of judgment, before what you and I call eternity. But really, in essence, eternity has already begun for us. Okay? Now, sinners deserve hell. Look at Romans. You're right there in Luke. Look at Romans chapter 2. I do want you to look at this one. Romans chapter 2. Every one of us deserved hell. Could I hear at least one amen? Amen. We all deserved hell, amen, without Jesus. And people get confused about this now and think, now listen to me, they think because they are a good person. They think because they give a lot of money, or they do this thing or that thing. They think because they are good that they don't hurt anybody and they don't cause any trouble, that that's all that is necessary. And because of that, they know that this loving God could not possibly send them to the eternal abyss. How many know that is a lie from the devil? That is not truth. That is not a valid statement. And there's a lot of people, I'm sure you've heard some, I've heard many, telling me, hey, you know, God wouldn't send anybody like this person, or God wouldn't send anybody like me because I'm a good person. Well, you're going to have to define what good is. Amen? Amen. All right. Now look at this. Romans chapter 2. Look in verse 2. But we know, say we know, that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Now, we've already said that God is a just God, okay? God is going to judge you and I according to truth, or according to his word. That's why we must learn his word. That's why we must have his word in our hearts, and it becomes real to us, because this is our standard. This is what we will, if you will, this is what we will be judged by. Now, look at this. He said, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you think, listen, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Do you think there's a place that you can hide? Do you think there's a rock and a cave dark enough that you can get away from the powerful, almighty El Shaddai, the God who is very much God, amen, El Shammah, the presence of God? Do you think there's anywhere you can go that the presence of God will not find you out? That's what he's saying. He said, or, look at this, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, say the goodness of God, leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness, now look at this, and your impotent or your unrepentive attitude would be a better word there, heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one, according to his deeds, according to his works. It says eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So the point is that we all deserve hell, and there will be a righteous judgment. And you know, we don't have any problem when somebody who is evil, somebody who is, you know, a serial killer or a mass murderer, and they convict that person, they prove beyond shadow of doubt, and they sentence that person to be, you know, put to death. We don't have any problem with that for the most part, if that person deserved it. I didn't see too many people crying in the streets when they executed Saddam Hussein. Come on, somebody. So we don't have any problem, you know, when somebody that deserves that extent of punishment. Do you think God is a fool? God is a just God. And if somebody deserves something, how many know he's not going to be deceived either? Now, if you don't deserve it, that's great. But if you do deserve it, don't be fooled into thinking that God's just going to look at you and wink his eye and say, oh, that's cool. That's cool. No problem. Everybody does that. Oh, that's okay. How many know God's not like that? God has prescribed, if you will, and he's just not going to let, he's not going to let the guilty get off the hook. Thank God there's somebody that took my sentence and I received him. And because I received him, Jesus paid the price that I could have entrance into this everlasting arms of God Almighty. Amen. Are you with me, church? The fourth little fact and truth here is that sinners are already condemned. Now you know that. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18. I said, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm fine. Well, look here. It says, he who believes, John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Say, not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, you know, this Eckhart told, you know, he can say, well, you know, in Oprah, they can say, well, God is, you know, just a feeling. It's just an imagination. See, that's the new thing now, is that God is an imaginary thing. And we've reduced God down to just an image that's in our mind. Well, you know, God is not a feeling, even though we can feel the presence of God. We know that God is much more than a feeling, but those that come to God, according to Hebrews 11:6, says must believe that he is. We have to believe that he is the real God Almighty, that there is no other God beside him. It doesn't matter how many false prophets, it doesn't matter how many other rise up and say, I'm the Christ, lo here, lo there. We know who the one and the true God is. Amen? We have to be established in that and understand that if we're sinners, we're condemned already. And I'll show you a little more about that in a minute. Here's the fifth thing. Sinners belong to the devil. I know people get mad when you tell them that if they don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior of their heart, their father is the devil. Amen. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, you can just write it down. See, because we understand that Adam and Eve, they started out, they belonged to God. But when they treason or committed the high treason and sold out to the devil, they became children, or their offspring became children of the devil. And so we know the devil has that right in this earth, because it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God, the little g of this world, blinds the hearts of men and women. Thank God our eyes are not blinded today to the reality of the truth. So we have to understand that if we're, it's only by the mercy and by the grace of God that Satan has not completely taken over every aspect of this country. He tries to do it through TV. He tries to do it through Hollywood. And now, because of the age of the internet, this is even a stronger and a more powerful, influential area, because now anybody can put anything on that thing, and it don't take much to do it, I'll tell you that. And you can say anything you want to say, and you can do, and you can act out anything you want to do and act out. And the problem with that is when you have somebody that's as influential as Oprah Winfrey, somebody that attracts millions and millions and millions of people just on name recognition alone, and then standing up there and proclaiming something to silly, gullible people that have no understanding of the truth, because people are hungry. They're hungry for something spirit. You are a spirit. And the Bible teaches us, because we are a spirit, we're drawn to a spirit. But we better be drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Spirit of grace. Amen? Because if we're not, we'll be long, and we'll be drawn to a spirit of demonic force and demonic influence. Because everybody's seeking, everybody's searching, they're looking for a lot of things, but they're easily deceived, because the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds. And so if we belong to the devil, then the end will be eternal judgment. But right now, see, God will turn that authority back over to the devil for that moment of time, to take all unbelievers with him into that lake of fire. But right now, listen to me, right now the devil doesn't have that authority. At any moment, at any time, at any point in your life, you call upon the name of Jesus, you can be saved. I said, you can be saved. And the devil has to turn a loose of you, and you change fathers. Praise God. You change walk. Your heart is changed by the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now here's the sixth thing. Man is on the brink of eternity. Now think about this. I'm just giving you some facts here about hell. And because a lot of people, they don't think about these things. I guess if I was in sin and didn't believe anything about God, I wouldn't want to think about eternity either. You notice when they ask him, what do you think about life? Well, I don't think about it. Well, I guess not. But you know, someday the light's going to go out. How many know you're just one blood vessel away from eternity? Well, here's remember the parable? We've read this before in Luke. I'll give you the scripture in Luke chapter 12. Verses 19, 20, talking about that rich man who had learned to profit and had made lots of money, and he had stored it in his barns, and his barns became full, and he went on to say, well, I'm going to just build bigger barns. And he said, I will say, this is what he said. He said, I will say to my soul, verse 19, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See, that's the enjoyment. That's living the good life. But God said to him, fool. Come on. God said to him, fool, yeah, this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? You think it is you that has got that stuff. What are you going to do with it? You know, but I remember a few weeks ago, maybe some of y'all saw this too, where this woman was riding in the front of her boat in the Florida Keys, just out sunbathing and enjoying, you know, I'm sure a nice sun-drenched day. And she's out there in the front of her boat, and this spotted stingray jumps up out of the water 4 or 6 foot and hits her slap dab, kills her and kills the stingray. I mean, did y'all see that? Yeah. I mean, I just got to thinking about, man, I'm sure she had no idea that death was that close. Just something incoherent, you know, how did something like that? I didn't even know they could jump. just out there, you know, enjoying a nice, sun, warm day, and all of a sudden, bam, the lights go out. You took your hands in your life when you drove over here today. That lady in Donna just took a couple of weeks ago with her family. I mean, she just driving down the road, and somebody hit a telephone pole, and the pole came over and hit right across where she was sitting, killed her instantly. See, what we don't understand is that we're just one heartbeat away from eternity. Who in here knows when they'll take their last breath? Who in here knows when it will be your last opportunity to receive Jesus? That's why we've got to be winners of souls. That's why we've got to go out to the highways and the byways. We've got to be bold to preach. I told you, this message today is not for the serious Christian. This message is for the careless liver. Hello. The casual inquirer. Or maybe somebody that once knew God, but, you know, for whatever reason got bogged down, got in their sin, and got tied back down with weights and fell out of the race. Are you listening to me? And then one more here. Everyone thinks they will escape hell. You talk to most people, I'm talking about unsaved people, or people that are not serving God for whatever their reason is, they think they have a strategy. And their strategy and their plan will take them on the right course. Are you with me, church? Jesus said it this way. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many thereby enter into it. But narrow is the way to this eternal life in God. And he said, few enter into that gate. Now, which are you going to be, the many or the few? The point is that the majority of mankind is already in hell today. Because they thought that there was another way, or they reasoned themselves out in their short little lifetime. Maybe they lived to be 100 years old, 101, 85, 95, whatever. But how many know that is just a spectrum? That is like one grain of sand on South Padre Island Beach compared to all the sand that's there and around the world. Amen. That's what eternity is. They think their way is right. They think that they can live and they've got this plan, see, that I'm okay. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, just don't bother me, I won't bother you. How many know that is deception with a capital D? Amen. And that the point is that if there is no repentance, if there is no change, then you will spend that eternity with the devil. You'll spend it in hell. And I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to do that. Are you with me? All right? So there is not many ways. There is not many ways to God. And we have this great deception. That's the reason I took the time to show you this clip. And, you know, your kids are watching these things on YouTube. And that's where I got it. Somebody sent it to me. It's on YouTube. It's on, you know, MySpace and all those kind of things that your kids go into and look at now and surf the internet and so on and so forth, you know, in the name of research or in the name of education. But you don't realize that there's these influences out there that are infiltrating our airwaves, because these are demon spirits and these are demon powers that have been designed by Satan to suck our children and to suck this nation back down the drain. But you know what? We're going to stand up and we're going to take back and we're going to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be on there soon. We're going to be on there soon. We're going to get through with our remodeling, because we want space for our children and we want space for our classroom. But I'm telling you what, we're going to get out there amongst them, amen, and we're going to preach the good news, because the good news is not that there's no hell. The good news is you don't have to go there. I said the good news is that there's a Savior who came from glory and paid the price so that you don't have to go there. Now, let me just give you, can you take just a couple more things here? See, can I just take one sermon a year and do this kind of thing for you? You know, just show you this deception. And I want to give you some images or some illustrations of hell so it's a reality to you and in your mind. Now, a lot of these passages, I'm not preaching that sermon, but a lot of these passages came from that great sermon by whatever his name was. There you go. I've already forgot him. Number one here, sinners are suspended over hell. Now, I'm just trying to give you an illustration and paint an image. You know, if you've ever seen images or pictures of these big, massive volcanoes, where I'm talking about they take helicopter shots and they fly over them, and you see all this sea of lava and molten rock and just bubbling with intense heat down inside the earth. Geologists will tell you the earth is filled with molten lava, and there's all kinds of, you know, all kinds of these forces through earthquakes and so on and so forth, but in geysers that like in Yellowstone Park, and all these things that are created underground because of the heat and the pressures that are going on underneath. But anyway, just imagine a super volcano, and you're a photographer, and they drop you down from a helicopter with a rope, and you've got this nice high-definition camera so you can be on National Geographic HD, and you're going to take pictures of this great open, you know, they drop you down in there, and man, you're just panning, and as far as you can see, molded hot lava and blah, 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 and smoke and steam and vapor, and you're just, you know, you're just filming that boy, you're just looking at all that stuff, and all of a sudden you look up and the rope's gone and the helicopter's gone and you're just suspended in air. Ain't nothing holding you up except the mercy hand of God. Amen. I'm trying to give you a picture of hell. I'm trying to show you where sinners are. If not for the grace of God. Now, you know, the unsmart person, well, I'll find something to hold on to. What are you going to hold on to if you're falling? You're going to be like a rock falling through a spider web. It's going to be the weight of that sin that's going to take you down into that molten lava. That is what the lake of fire, just what we can even imagine, the intensity of what is going on. We're getting a glimpse in the natural earth. But how many know it's even going to be worse than that? Are you with me? And then here's another one, because, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, listen, you're suspended. A person that's in sin this morning, a person that's not right with God, you're there suspended right now over that steamy, hot lava rock. And nothing holding you but the hand of God. And it's up to God. Listen, it's up to, it's up to God to go, whoop. I said it's up to God to go, whoop. Thank God for his mercy. I sure would hate to be one blaspheming him. Hate to be one mocking him and telling him that there's many ways to God and that God is just a figment of your imagination. He's just a feeling. Oh, just breathe in and breathe out. Just relax. Be happy. Oh, somebody say, oh, me. Here's another one, yeah. The wrath of God is like water behind a dam. Now, I think back, you know, we used to go fishing as kids at Lake Texoma. And this big, huge lake and this big, huge dam with these floodgates on each side that would go down and you know, start that Red River Basin there. And you'd go down there when it's just trickling out water, just a little bit of water, because the fishing was real good because the water was being stirred there. Man, you'd catch fish. But they had this big giant clock, kind of like what we got, and these big sirens. And when that thing went, woo, you better run out of that cavity. You better get out of that basin, because when they start popping those floodgates open, you're talking about like 250,000 cubic feet per second of water, and you get stuck down there. When they open those things up, man, you would be flushed like a power flush toilet, and you'd find yourself swimming in the Gulf of Mexico before you ever realized what was going on. Well, think about it. That's where you are without God. You're down there in front of those floodgates. And God has the trumpet. God has the bullhorn. Are you with me? And you can be stubborn if you want. And you know, but see, we have an obligation to tell people, hey, the floodgate is fixing to open and the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And everybody in its way is going to be washed away. Now we hope that they have enough sense to heed our warning. If we throw them a life rope, we hope they have enough gumption and enough sense. But the problem is, most self-righteous people don't have any of that kind of sense. Are you with me? We hope they have enough presence of mind to reach and take the rope. Now here's another one. Another illustration is that God's wrath is fierce. Fierce. Proverbs 22, you can just put that up there right quick. Listen to me. It says, the terror of a king is like a roar of a lion. And it says, whoever provokes him to anger is the same as taking your own life or sinning against him. Now listen to me. I'm thinking a lion. You ever heard a lion give out one of those blood-curdling? You ever been in a zoo? I mean, it just, you can echoes all over the zoo. And I think about those kids out in San Francisco that were taunting this lion, and they still have not figured out how that lion was able to jump across that moat and jump up that fence and go and maul and kill those guys, those young people. But I'm telling you, a lion is fierce. Hello? And a lion can almost do supernatural feats. That's why Jesus, well, I thought Jesus was a lamb. Well, he is a lamb. But you know what? Revelation calls him also the lion, the tribe of Judah. In other words, we want to think about this fluffy, muffy, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, God is good. God is great. But God is also a lion. And when he gives out a roar, woo, and fierce, and you come against that, you come against the fierceness of that lion, you're going to be snapped. You're going to find out he can jump over a tall building. You find out he can jump over any width of any area. You're going to find out that if you come against God, God is going to come against you. Amen. Oprah or Egghart or Egghead is not going to save you. Come on. Hurry, I'm trying to finish. God will not hear your cry in hell. It's going to be too late. Say it's too late. Ezekiel 8:18, you can write it down. I'll read it to you. Therefore, I also will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Did you hear that? You can cry and you can moan. And you can say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. But it says that God will not hear your cry. But God hears your cry right now. I said you can cry out to God today and God will jump heaven and earth to get to you with the salvation that Jesus Christ will save your soul and keep you from entering into that eternal death. Right now. But then, it's too late. Get that image. We're talking about just reality. Let me give you another one here. God will be worshipped both in his love and in his wrath. Now that's amazing. Some people don't understand it. God will be worshipped. Doesn't the Bible say that every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess? Everyone! Everyone that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, Isaiah 66:24 says, all flesh will come. Now, this is an amazing thing, that even those that wouldn't worship him in this lifetime, those that wouldn't dare set their foot in a church where they were a little radical, you know, and got a little loud and little, you know, woohoo. Because you always got opposition. Whitfield had opposition. He had opposition. You can read it. John Chauncey. I mean, he came against the revival. But how many know God made the way? And revival came anyway. Hallelujah. Well, it says, all flesh shall come to worship me. Verse 24 says of Isaiah 66, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpse of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die. Remember, I've taught you that before. And their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Apparently, that worm on the inside, it never dies. That heat that's never quenched. It's eating you on the inside out, tormenting you day and night. Somebody say, that's not a good place to spend eternity. It's because they don't have a reality, see, that hell is a real place. And the last one, that the torment is eternal. Think about it, church. Think about it. The torment is eternal, but so is His mercy, and so is His love. And we make a choice to receive His mercy or His love, or we will experience His wrath. Comes from the same God. But you see, hell is a place of no hope. It's a place of no comprehension. But heaven is a place of hope. Heaven will be lit with the wisdom. And maybe next week we'll talk about heaven to balance this out so you just think I'm not talking about hell. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get the reality, see, that hell is a real place, and that eternity is a long, come on, it's a long, long, long time. Wow. What kind of God do we serve? Well, that's what Oprah said. Well, what kind of God would I serve? When I heard that He was jealous of me, He didn't say He was jealous of her. He said He was jealous over you. Amen. As the bridegroom is over His bride. Amen? But you never know, see. Because of the deception. Because of what people are listening to. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't it amazing? That right at the instant that it was about to receive the wrath of God, that Lot and his family got out except his wife. And in that place there, which is the foot of the Red Sea, just turned into nothing but ashes and heat. Are you with me? Yes. You can read several incidents. Korah, I mean, remember Korah, that worshiper that rebelled against Moses. And he's there in his rebellion because he's got the wrong stuff in the censer trying to produce worship. And the ground opened up and swallowed him and all his family. Wow. Just in an instant into the abyss of eternal damnation. On the brink of eternity. How many of you would like to spend eternity without God? Now that's something, you're right, brother. That's something we've got to keep in the forefront of our mind, even though we don't think in that term, because we're secure in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We know that Jesus has saved us. And we know that we all come short. And we know that we'll make mistakes. But we're quick to repent. Come on, how many of you are quick to repent? Amen. How many of you know that when the Lord deals with it, you need to be quick to repent? I want you to stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord.